Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the virtual Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank. We're actually not in Renaissance Bank, folks. You know that, but I'm used to saying it so many times it stumbles off my tongue. But we are in the virtual Business Radio X studio, and we still love Renaissance Bank. And just a reminder that they are out there and available to process the PPP loans. They're hard at work on this, and get in touch with them if you are in need of help. They're in the branch. All their folks are in the branches, but you cannot go in the branch without an appointment. So you must call ahead, make an appointment. You can go through the drive-thru without an appointment, but to go inside, you've got to have, you got to call ahead. So do that. Call ahead to your friendly Renaissance banker, or go to renaissancebank.com, and they can help you out there. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we've got a fascinating couple of entrepreneurs that I've been looking forward to chatting with: Noah Valens and Shuria Seth. And Noah and Shuria are with Pluto Food Delivery. Guys, welcome.
Hey there, John. Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have both of you. Excited. Well, we're excited to have you on, and we've got both of them on the phone right now. And so, Noah, Shuria, tell folks a little bit about you and your company, and you guys are Alpharetta High School students.
Yeah. So our company is basically started by the five of us. Two of us are here right now, Noah and I, but the other three people, they work on the technical side of things, while us two work on the business side of things. Mm-hmm. Personally, all five of us were juniors at Alpharetta High School. And this idea actually came to us around January of this year. And we were at a robotics competition, and it was crazy. We were just in the car. You know, by the time we got to the hotel room, it was already 11 o'clock, and we were prepping up for the next day, which was actually the main competition. And that was the big day. So we were planning to pull off an all-nighter, and we just ordered a ton of food for our group. And when we looked at the bill, we ordered pizza, burgers, drinks, you know, the general stuff. But when we looked at the bill came to $73, which is just astounding to us, considering that we hadn't ordered too much. It was just five people. Mm-hmm. Right. And
right.
Edward and I talked about it after the whole thing happened. We were just like working on our computers, and it just came to me. I was like, you know, there has to be a better way to give food delivery, or at least solve the food delivery problem, to make it less costly. We could take out some fees or something like that. And that's really where the idea for Pluto sparked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to give you a little bit of a background on what it is Pluto is, because that covers how we started.
Sure.
Pluto's main goal since that night was to make Pluto, or rather food delivery as a whole, as affordable as possible. Because right now, the only people who are able to order Uber Eats or DoorDash on a constant basis are people who have a lot of money on their hands. And given how incredible this technology is and how much it could revolutionize our communities, especially during a time like this where COVID has had us all at home, food delivery is more important than ever. And if it was more affordable for people, I think we'd see a lot more restaurants afloat right now than we currently are, just because of how accessible it would have been to be able to support them. So since day one, even before this virus hit, that's what Pluto was focused on, and that's what we're trying to do today.
So talk about the difference in cost. I mean, how much does your product lower the cost between, to the end consumer, between what you offer and the competition?
Mm-hmm. So from a cost basis, we're actually really proud of this. The beautiful thing about Pluto is that although to the user, the way you use the app is virtually the same as Uber Eats, DoorDash, Postmates, all these other big guys, the cost at the end of the day is anywhere from a half the cost to as low as a quarter of the cost. And the reason that that's possible is because since that night, since we created Pluto, we've been working on our own routing algorithm that allows us to lower delivery costs that we then pass on to our users. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's much cheaper.
Wow. So is this is a matter of a different algorithm? Tell me more about
how it's a combination.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So when it comes to how we're able to bring that cost down, it's a combination of our own routing algorithm and a combination from a fundamental level of how you think about delivery. So right now, when you look at delivery, or you look at delivery through the years, you can go centuries back, you have something that people refer to as the milk delivery route. And effectively, what that is, if you can imagine a milkman going out on a route, he has a predestined number of people that he's been going to, and he's like, okay, we're going to deliver to Janet in the morning in Alpharetta, and then by the end of the night, we have Bill over there in Marietta. And he has all those stops planned out. Everything's good. And for years, for decades even, that delivery route, which was also used on newspaper routes, that worked fine. Now, what happened with the advent of the internet boom, when you saw people starting to be able to get things rapidly, is that food delivery came to the front, but people didn't want to wait until the end of the day to get their milk or to get their newspaper. They needed everything quickly. And what you saw people do was try to apply the milk delivery route on a shorter basis. Like, okay, maybe we can't deliver to 30 people because by the time we hit number 30, you know, it's going to be the end of the day, but maybe we can deliver to 5 people and then we can get Bill, the normally last one, we can get him halfway in the day. And that worked for a little bit. But what ended up happening is that people wanted to be able to order different things at different times to different locations. You're moving around. Maybe you're at your business one day and you want lunch, and maybe you're at home with your kids and you want to get dinner. Now, the problem is with the milk delivery route, obviously, is that it's not able to account for that. If you get something at dinner, it's not going to be able to say, oh, halfway through the route, we can't change it up. And if the reason for that is that if they tried to go deliver to you at a different place, then it messes up everybody else would have been able to get their food immediately afterwards. Mm. So what we've done is taken the pretty, I mean, if you look at what these big players like Uber Eats and DoorDash have implemented, it seems like something that was supposed to be a temporary fix. What they did was like, listen, if we can't have one guy deliver all these things, we're going to have one guy deliver one thing, and then we're going to put the entire delivery cost onto the end user. Because at the end of the day, it's like you have to pay the driver the amount that he's supposed to get paid, and you cannot cut their hours, right? You want to make sure you have a good employee, basically you're an ethical business. So what ended up happening is that the cost of that driver, who can now only deliver one item per run, that entire cost went over to the user. So that's why when you order a burger on Uber Eats, it's going to cost you the $8 of the burger and then $16 in delivery costs, because you have to realize they put upmarks on the actual product, they put service fees, then there's credit card charges, and then there's a delivery fee.
Right.
So that's why it's so expensive on Uber Eats, right? Now, sure, you can talk to you more in depth about what we've done to change that, but effectively what we've done is that we have optimized the route, the original milkman route, where that one guy was able to pick up, drop off 5, 6, 7 people. Mm-hmm. We've been able to bring that back by optimizing everything. So that was one, looking at the original problem. How could we fix it? Why is it this expensive? And two, creating technology that allows us to work around it, to work better at it, a different approach.
Gotcha. I'm speechless on how awesome that is. I mean, that is amazing. So you're 5 Alpharetta High School students that have done this.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you have done this, I know Mr. Tom Hatcher, who's business teacher over at Alpharetta High School. Tom's awesome. I know he's Mr. Hatcher to you, but he's an awesome mentor, you've got, but beyond that, you've done this on your own.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
And it was something really that inspired us through our business class with Mr. Hatcher. Mm-hmm. This is like we wanted to start this company out, and we got his mentorship alongside all of the CTAE department.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of our counselors on board, and when they heard about the things we're doing, we're trying to create like almost a startup community at Alpharetta High School. They were very impressed by it, and even Dr. Kersey, which is our principal, she is very supportive of us. So it's been great.
That's wonderful. So you've been presented a opportunity here in the middle of economic chaos with shelter in place directives here in the Alpharetta area. So talk a little bit about what you're doing in that regard.
Yeah. So one thing, I mean, we were planning to launch way earlier than what we were intending to. Mm-hmm. The problem that came up obviously was the coronavirus outbreak. And it was funny because in Alpharetta High School, we had our beta launch, and the day of, we got the announcement saying that, you know, no more high school, will be canceling almost, you know, for the next 2 weeks. And it kept going on. And now all of the, like, our whole high school grade for junior year has been canceled, right? So it was just like one update after another, which was devastating to our launch date. And what we ended up doing was we decided, okay, we'll launch on April 20th. And what we'll do is by that time, we'll have an effective driver network set up. We'll have all our apps, our web applications ready, and everything's just set to go. And on April 20th, we'll actually model after a lot of food delivery companies that are doing internationally, how they're delivering food to their you know, their citizens in those countries. So what a lot of the trend that you see in a lot of places is now that they're increasing safety measures. So obviously we're going to be including non-tamper-proof bags. We're going to be having pictures of food. Like, we'll make sure that in every stage of the process, the food has not been contaminated. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, what we wanted to do was see what is the capacity of our driver network. And that's really what we're doing right now. For the past 2 weeks, what we've been doing is delivering masks to local hospitals. So just this past week, we donated over 3,000 items to a central EMS. And it was stuff ranging from sanitizer bottles to hand lotion to disinfectant wipes, which we had gotten from a lot of students at Alpharetta High School, but a lot of our neighbors as well. Mm. And we've also been building a network and building partnerships with other groups that are doing the same thing. And right now, behind Pluto Delivery, we have 8,000 people working with us to create masks for hospital donations, right? And this includes hospitals, and we've contacted them and set up delivery times as well. This includes hospitals such as Emory, Northside, again, Central EMS, and, you know, as you mentioned, some of the hospitals that you said that we would love to connect with as well. So, yeah, that's really been our major project, measuring out our delivery network, checking out its capacity, but at the same time, giving back to the community. Whenever we get the chance.
So we talked about this off air, but I think the question that's got to come up in folks' heads at this point is, and I wish you would explain it, is how is it you're able to do this as a startup company with five Alpharetta High School students? I mean, how are you able to pay the drivers and do that, perform the service you're performing for the community?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, John, it's a lot of coffee and a lot of hope. That's the main thing. And
well, that sounds like a typical startup to me. So
you won't believe it. I mean, I'll give it back to Noah in just a sec. Well, you won't believe it. We woke up at around 3:30 today.
Yes.
And from 3:30, we've been prepping for all the calls that we have had today. So it's really been
Wow.
You know, a crazy past few weeks. But yeah, Noah, back to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to logistically how we were able to go out there and do this, I mean, there's a little flaw in that question because it wasn't just us that did it, right? If you go back to previously, it's like the people who have been able to help us. I mean, we have been so lucky that we've been reached out to by professors across the country. We released our website, and then we went on LinkedIn, and we started to tell people what we were doing about. And then we started getting responses. We have, I want to say, like 14 professors from Stanford, between Stanford and Harvard right now, who we've been going back and forth with, people from different industries. Like, we have one of them who's been super helpful to us as a marketing professor at Stanford. And we've been talking to him directly. He's like, hey, how do we go out there? How do we get the people involved? How do we get the community together, right? So, I mean, if you look at the five high school juniors, all we really had was hope that we would be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we're like, we need to find the people who do know how to do this. At the end of the day, all we had was a small idea on how to make food delivery better. But when it came to actually implementing it, we own 100% of that to people who have so much more experience than we do in this area. So that's been by far the main way that we've been able to go about doing this.
Wow. That is awesome. So how's it working right now? So you mentioned you're you were kind of doing a proof of concept, I guess, as it were, for food delivery. Here along comes coronavirus and stay at home. And now you're trying to get back to the community through delivery of hand sanitizer and mask and what have you. So where are you now in terms of how people can engage with you? Can they order food from you? Can they contribute items for you to deliver to hospitals or both, or how's that working?
So as of right now, we have a couple ways that we can engage with the community. So the main one, of course, like as we mentioned, if anybody out there has any PPE donations, and that could be anywhere from N95 masks to gowns to small hand sanitizers you may have in your bags from years ago, whatever it may be, we do have a list on our website, pluto.delivery. You can visit it. And if you have any of those items, you can sign up on the website and we'll be more than happy to come to your place, safely pick it up, and then donate it to a local hospital. So that's what we're doing right now to test our logistics and give back to the community. But as of the 20th of April this month, we're going to be launching our full food delivery service here in North Fulton. So that's going to cover Alpharetta. And we also do want to touch a little bit into the metro Atlanta area, because they're hurting a lot right now. Obviously, they need as much help as possible, given that majority of cases are happening over there. So on the 20th of this month, you can sign up for the beta launch of it right now. But we're going to be launching with, I think we have 52 maybe confirmed restaurants. So all your favorite places. And the beautiful thing about it is that they're all local. We wanted to make sure we didn't get any chains on this. As much as we want to support our local franchisers, the people who are hurting the most right now with the smallest lines of credit are the local people. And we've seen their business get shuttered. I mean, yesterday we got a call from this local cafe over here. It's one of my favorite French cafes. We were talking to them and they were telling me about how they had to split wages to one person for 10-hour shift. She covered the entire 10-hour shift going around. And she made such a small amount of money. It hurt my heart to hear that. And that's happening in so many different places right now. And a lot of them aren't even that lucky to be able to have enough money to stay open for that day. So starting the 20th, we're going to be launching with all local retailers. You'll be able to go on the app. Once you sign up on the website, we'll send you a link so you can download the app and you'll be able to order from your local businesses. And we'll deliver to you absolutely zero upmark on that price. We're only charging the restaurant whatever it costs for gas and to pay our drivers. We're making zero profit on this right now. But the important part is that those people will be able to get up and operational.
Yeah, and a small thing I'd like to add on to that as well is that we actually got into a call with the mayor right after an ABA meeting today. And he talked to us about how the restaurants, essentially what the economic plan was behind the restaurants. And they would love to add what we are doing to the economic plan itself. And he's going to get his economic development manager, Matthew A. Thomas, with us on a call as well pretty soon. So that's something that we're also working on.
Awesome. That's terrific. Yeah. Matt is a very helpful guy, so he will be good for you to connect with for sure. Folks can download the app. How do they do that?
Yeah, so right now our team is working on getting the app out. One thing that has been happening is that the app review committees are taking a bit longer to get the app back to us. So usually the process is that we submit it to them through their website, and the app review committees look at it, and if it matches their standards, especially for Apple since it has higher standards, if it matches their standards, they come back to us with an email confirming that the app is on their store. But right now it's been taking a bit longer because a lot of employees are working from home. So we are in the process of that and they should be out before the 20th for sure.
Awesome. And in terms of contributions, let's make sure people understand what you're taking to contribute. And I mean, I guess the question also would be, if I order dinner, let's say, and I've got something to contribute, I can just hand that over to the driver when they deliver the food.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that correct?
100%.
Okay. Okay. So what kind of items are you taking for donations?
Yep. So we have a full list live on our website right now.
Okay.
But a few of those would be disinfectant wipes, bleach bottles. I know a lot of people have those Clorox wipes, Clorox bottles, from whenever you're cleaning around the house. And here's the beautiful part. They don't need to be closed. So a lot of people, I get these calls. It's like, hey, we have these things, but they're open. I've already used 2-3 wipes, or maybe there's only 2-3 left. And what I tell them is like, listen, we've gotten in contact with these hospitals. We know what they need, and they need that item. And we've already talked to them. They don't care if it's open, if it's been previously used, as long as it's not a thermometer or a mask or a gown. Everything else, it can be open packaged. So any of those items, either you can go on the hospital side of the website. When you go, there's two buttons, one for food delivery, one for hospital. And on the hospital side, you can sign up for our donation route. Or if you're ordering food from the food donation side of things, once it's going to launch on the 20th, you'll have the option when you're at checkout to say, hey, I want to be able to give you guys this donation on the way there. And our drivers, they sanitize things. Your food is sanitized the same way that these medical supplies are sanitized. So there's really no safety hazard there once you drop it off to them.
Well, this is awesome. So you tell folks, where do your drivers come from?
Yeah. So this is one of the questions a lot of people in Alfred High School also had. Considering a lot of high schools right now, they want to take extra security measures because of the incidents that have been happening at, you know, high schools, elementary schools, middle schools. And one of the questions that our principal also had for our service was the same one that you have. So what we're doing essentially is getting drivers from Uber Black and Uber Select specifically to, we want to make sure that they have the highest performance and highest etiquette when it comes to handling with our customers. And we're essentially making sure that in addition to that, since they have gone through industry background checks, we use the same ones that Uber does, but at the same time, we use additional ones to make sure that, you know, they have no criminal records or no mishaps during driving.
And one of the things, there are great Uber drivers that you want to have on your team, but you also told me when we were prepping for this interview, you told me that there's some not so good Uber and other kind of drivers, right?
So comes to drivers.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know we've been ping-ponging here a little bit.
That's okay.
when it comes to our drive team, we are very careful when it comes to who's allowed to join and who isn't, because what you're seeing right now, as unfortunate as it is, a lot of people are losing their jobs from a lot of different industries. So you're seeing these people go into Uber, going into Lyft, going into a number of other ride sharing services. And, you know, they're desperate. They say, hey, I've got bills to pay, which is 100% understandable. But what you see happen a lot, and I know New York Times actually reported on this just a couple of days ago, is that you're seeing a lot of these drivers coming to work sick. So they're driving people around. It's like one of those people could have had corona. Now they're showing symptoms. And like, listen, obviously I don't want to be doing this, but I don't have a job anymore right now. I need to be able to do these rides. So what we do when we bring these people on board is that we go through a number of different things. First, we have our original checklist that we already went through before this whole COVID epidemic hit. And that was, they need to be background checked by us and by third parties. They need to have a good driver history. Like Shuria said, we only hire from Uber Black and Uber Select, only the highest level people. If you have anything under a 4.9 rating, you can't be brought onto the platform as of right now. So that was the original list. Of course, we want to find people who are dedicated and are as nice as possible on top of that. And finally, the things that we've been adding on top of this due to COVID to make sure we get only the best people on the platform is that we make sure that they haven't been active on Uber or on Lyft during the last month and a half. That's the biggest step we've taken recently. And we were, you know, to be honest with you, John, we were super hesitant on doing that because half of our drivers were active. And we're like, listen, we love you guys. We brought you on for a specific purpose. You're part of the original founding team. But as of right now, you're going to be driving 40 different people's food a day, right? Maybe 50, maybe 60. It depends how things grow. And we want to make sure that doesn't matter how many people you order from, that every single one of those orders are safe. So when you're driving, we need to make sure that you haven't been, you even have the possibility to come into contamination, at least through Uber or through Lyft, to make sure those deliveries are safe. So that's been the major change we've been making. And of course, we want to make sure that these people follow our sanitation guidelines. Everything goes in a tamper-proof bag. They need to wear gloves. We disinfect the car and the items when we pick them up. So we make sure that all that whole logistics is on lockdown and that they follow all of those. And, you know, we've had the unfortunate experience where we tried to interview people and they didn't go through that route and immediately they were cut off. So when we were talking about the bad Uber drivers beforehand, that's what the people we were talking about.
Wow. And we're not going to mention any specific names, but what you, yeah, but I'm not talking about of drivers. I'm talking about of companies, but you mentioned that there's a quality control problem in this industry in terms of the, whether the driver has gotten into the food of the client's food that they're delivering. And it's just, there's a quality control problem in this industry.
Yeah. So, and we talked about this off air yesterday. One of the things that Noah and I were reading an article, one of the things that came across was almost 38% of Uber Eats drivers have said that they've eaten from the orders themselves, right? And what we wanted to do was make sure that none of this would happen with our service. And what we did was we looked into other companies, how they're looking into making sure that any package or any type of cargo that they deliver is not tampered with. And we came across Amazon, wherein which they take pictures when the thing, when the, you know, when their package is delivered to your house, right?
Right.
So we essentially added a step to that, saying that we'll take a picture when your order is, you know, picked up from the restaurant and when your order is delivered to your house, to ensure that all the contents or all the items inside the bag that we're delivering to you have stayed in the same way and, you know, have not been tampered with.
Right. Wow. It sounds like your team has really figured out a lot of different angles of something that I think a lot of folks thought, you know, there's a couple of big scaled companies that are kind of taking over, but you're coming up from behind them, right?
Yeah. And it's most likely because, I mean, we've seen a lot of how these companies work. It's just way too much red tape, way too much bureaucracy to make any additional changes. And it's usually met by a lot of backlash. So we wanted to ensure that, you know, any of these things that they're having a hard time changing, we, you know, we approach that before we launch.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Because I mean, when it comes to these big scale companies, it's sad to see that as amazing as the technology that they have is, that they've really lost sight of what was important. You see what they're trying to post right now on social media, how they're handling their brand image. And whenever one of them comes out with a new feature, you see the other one immediately backstab that guy and then release their own version of it. Mm. And it's so sad to see, because at the end of the day, the person you shouldn't fear is your competitor. It's the customer. You need to make sure that that person is up to utmost priority. Because I personally believe that if you follow the customer, you'll go to beautiful heights. And that's what we've been trying to approach the company like.
Folks, we're speaking with Noah Valens and Shuria Seth, and they are juniors, both juniors at Alpharetta High School, and they and I guess three other of their colleagues there have started a company called Pluto Food Delivery. And guys, this has been great, and I've been excited about getting you on this show and getting more exposure for you and allowing you to widen how you're helping people. So congratulations on the way you're thinking.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been awesome. So, but before we let you go, for those that do want to be in touch, let's, already mentioned the website, but let's do it again and tell everybody how they can get the app and review that real quickly one more time.
Sure. So right now, if you want to visit our website, sign up to either donate or join the food delivery that launches this month on the 20th, you can visit us at Pluto.delivery. Instead of .com, it's .delivery. And if you have any questions or concerns, there's a contact form on the website, but you can also reach out to us at PlutoFoodDelivery@gmail.com. And our social media tag on all of the social media sites, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, you can reach us at Pluto Delivery on those sites as well.
Awesome. Shuria Seth and Noah Valens. Guys, thanks for being with us and congratulations.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Folks, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on all the major podcast apps. That includes Apple, Stitcher, Google, TuneIn, Spotify. We're on all of them. I've put a challenge out there to anybody that can find an app that the Business Radio X family of shows is not on. And I've got yet to be challenged on that, but maybe somebody will give me one. We're also on NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com. Check out our archive there of over 200 shows now. We're the longest running podcast in North Fulton, and we're the voice of business in North Fulton. including even businesses started by Alpharetta High School students. So there you go. Check us out on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, North Fulton BRX. So for my guests, Noah Valens and Shariah Seth, I'm John Ray. Join me next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.